Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Insurance to suit your needs. Protect your home, car or van with Zurich.
Following on from one aspect of our conversation with Francis Rouen a short time ago, having suggested yesterday that working from home might be rewarded with a tax cut, today the Taoiseach spoke in the Dáil in greater detail about the desirability of remote working. Might it really be as transformative as some are suggesting? Philippa Gerhaes has been assessing the pros and the cons.
I think it's clear that that COVID has changed a lot about our lives. And that certainly includes the way that most of us work.
Mark Zuckerberg's video conference to Facebook staff last week was all about remote working.
I think that it's quite possible that over the next 5 to 10 years, about 50% of our people could be working remotely, would be my guess.
Facebook currently has 48,000 employees around the world. Zuckerberg wasn't setting a target of 24,000 people now working from home, but from now on, he said, they would be
aggressively opening up remote hiring. You know, on that front, you know, the reality, if most of us are working remotely at this point, it doesn't make sense for us to be constraining all of our hiring to people who happen to live near offices that a lot of people aren't going to be able to go into anyway.
The advantage for Facebook, they would no longer be confined to hiring people from the cities where they have offices. And as others follow Facebook and Twitter's example, this is going to open up a new foreign direct investment employment market, a labour pool of hyper-connected remote workers. The future of a large chunk of the 200,000 FDI jobs in Ireland could be more about the speed of their broadband than the rate of corporation tax.
My name is Paul O'Hara. I'm the founder of an organisation called ChangeX, and we're helping to mobilise communities around good ideas, one of which is Grow Remote. So we see remote working as a great opportunity, particularly for rural communities.
At ChangeX, Paul O'Hara has been considering the upside to remote working. It can, in part, he suggests, address three things that were central to our last general election.
The top three challenges that came out were housing, health and climate change.
The potential impact of remote working on housing is a no-brainer.
If thousands of people move to rural towns and villages and take the pressure out of cities, it can help us address issues like homelessness, reduce rents, reduce prices, make things more affordable for everyone.
Taking people out of offices with poor air circulation and spreading the population around a bit might take a little bit of pressure off the health system during the critical winter flu season.
By having more people working remotely, whether that be from home or from kind of rural hubs, you can reduce the amount of people that experience flu at that peak time of the year.
Poor air quality kills 1,500 people annually, 10 times the number of road deaths.
So if people reduce their commute times and distances by working remotely partially or by working from rural villages where they're, you know, just going into some kind of shared hub that's a couple of kilometres away or whatever, you can considerably reduce the amount of carbon emissions in the transport sector.
There's so many upsides to remote working that some are touting the pandemic as the death of the office.
Lower rents, less time in commutes, more time with family, more time for pastimes. I think remote work is a big idea and it should be at the heart of the new programme for government.
But I think the bell has been rung when it comes to work-life balance. And that bell can't be unrung.
The Taoiseach this afternoon.
Home working is now evidently doable for many. Of course, none of this is new, but employers and employees in government should now work together to make it more mainstream.
But the conditions in which we have been thrown into remote working are not real world. How many can realistically do this? Will they be compensated properly? Will everyone else not be compensated? UCC economist Frank Crowley has looked at the maximum number of people in Ireland who could theoretically work from home.
You're talking about 2 out of 5 people can generally do remote working.
And is that can do or do do?
In Ireland, it's about 14% only that do. Another 26% of the workforce will be able to possibly remote work.
Everyone else, the other 60% of the workforce, is in healthcare, policing, construction, production, manufacturing jobs that obviously cannot be done from home. Yesterday, the Taoiseach flew the kite of giving remote workers a tax break. How would guards, nurses and plasterers and all of those for whom remote working will never be an option feel about not getting that? If only 40% can theoretically work from home, how many actually want to? The CSO surveyed a group of men and women forced out of the office and into the spare bedroom by the pandemic. Only 7% of them wished to make the new arrangement permanent.
Well, the low number was in people who would like to work from home on a permanent basis.
Laura Bambrick, Social Policy Officer with the Congress of Trades Unions.
But when they asked people if they would like a mix of office-based work and homework, the numbers improved and we had just over half of all workers saying that they would like that mix.
But what advantage is an employer going to get from keeping an empty desk for you to use just on Wednesdays and Thursdays? That lack of a saving for companies is going to eliminate another chunk of potential wannabe remote workers from the pool. Not surprisingly, women were notably less enthusiastic about working from home than men.
3 in 5 men said they would like that mix, but less than 40% of women said they would work from home.
The prospect of being on permanent call for housework and childcare making remote work feel like a demotion. And then there's the other big chill factor, what is now being called the Zoom divide.
But within that privileged group that can work from home, we're not all equally privileged. And it's most likely to be younger workers who are working, who are living in accommodation that isn't suitable to be working from home, that they don't have that extra bedroom that can be converted into a home office.
There will be some who will migrate out of the cities to enjoy a life of remote work. But economist Frank Crowley says that cities will always draw people to them in much larger numbers than those who decide to work from home.
All the opportunities are going to be in the city, again, because that's where the opportunities are for the future. You see, the issue here is that for the innovations of the future, you need face-to-face interaction. You need the buzz of the city. You need the buzz of universities and the spillover effects. That's what's driving innovation. If you're operating more remotely, you don't get that same learning environment that is crucial, that underpins the driver of the economy.
The Taoiseach says that nonetheless, there is now an opportunity to embrace remote working, which should not be lost.
Public and private sectors need to make sure we don't simply drift back to the old way of doing things.
And in this debate, we also need to give consideration to people like Vincent, from whom we got an email yesterday. He said he has 3 adult children working from what in reality is our house and not their offices. My wife and I spend our day creeping around our house in order to not disturb them. Notes on bedroom doors to be quiet on a Zoom meeting. Do not disturb. Talking to clients. Keep out. Teaching session in progress. We can't even use the Hoover. The kitchen never closes as they all have different schedules. Who, Vincent asks, is going to compensate us? Hashtag, my house is not your office.
A familiar tale, I am sure now. Philip Outer-Hayes reporting there. It's coming up to 6.